Thank you, Lord. This morning I want us to look at a familiar scripture in Acts chapter 16. And we'll go through several verses in here. So if you want to open your Bible up to Acts 16 and just leave it open while I speak to you, that would probably be the wisest thing to do. There are particular passages in this scripture that are very familiar with us. They're used many, many times, and there's others that we haven't discussed in a long time, or maybe even never. So I'd like to consider some of them this morning. So if you would, let's go to Acts chapter 16 and verse 15 to begin. Hallelujah. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Lord, let this word just penetrate our heart. Let this word just penetrate our heart today. For the fathers that are here, but not just the men, all of us, let it penetrate our heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And then verse 31, it says, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household.'" You and your household will be saved. Many of you are aware of the group known as Gideon International. It's comprised of Christian businessmen who purchase and then pass out Bibles. There's a story of a man who asked for a Gideon Bible. He said the paper is very fine and perfect for rolling his smokes. The Gideons gave him the Bible on the condition that before he used the pages, he would read them front and back.
Amen.
The man proceeded to smoke his way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then came to John and stopped when he read John 3:16. And that's when he gave his heart to Jesus. In another related story, a young Colombian girl received a Gideon New Testament at her school. She read the New Testament until one day her father caught her reading it. He scolded her, told her not to read it anymore because it was full of lies and fantasy. But the girl continued reading it on the side, away from Dad. Until one day her father came home unexpectedly, found her with the New Testament. He grabbed it from her hands and he put it in his pocket. The father went off to work where he was a mining engineer. Several hours later, sirens went off in the community. There had been a cave-in on one of the mines. The father was trapped in the mine. The rescue workers worked hard for 5 days until they finally reached the men, but it was too late. All 31 men died, including the father and this little girl. Curiously, workers found a man clutching the New Testament between his praying hands. When they opened the front cover, they read a note, "To my daughter, keep reading this New Testament. It is true and right. And I will see you one day in heaven." Then they turned to the back page where the father had signed a commitment card after saying a sinner's prayer. That was not the end of the story. Turning the page, there were the signed names of all the other 30 workers. Amen.
Jesus, your faith.
Listen, folks, these stories remind us of how powerful the Word of God can be. By itself, without someone smooth talking about the gospel message. The Word of God is able to save all who will call upon the name of the Lord. You know, I want to ask you, have you called upon upon the Lord.
Yes.
Paul declared in Romans 1, verse 16, he declared, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." I noticed something quite astonishing in this second story. The father was able to lead his child in her faith even through his death. Even through his death. The message the Holy Spirit has for his church today, and especially fathers, is this: will you fulfill your God-given responsibility to lead your family in matters of faith? Will you fulfill your God-given responsibility to lead your family in matters of faith? In the ancient world, the whole household followed the religion of its head. And the head would gladly take that responsibility to lead the household in worship before their God. Just as Joshua did in Joshua 24:15, he said, "As for me and my household,
yes,
we will serve the Lord."
Yes.
And he meant that. "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Today we're looking at some familiar stories, and we'll see what Lydia, the Philippian, and the Philippian jailer did to lead their families to the Lord. Why? Why? Because they had the responsibility and they both met the challenge.
Yes. Right.
Church, especially all the men, will you fulfill your God-given responsibility to lead your family in matters of faith? Now, in our scripture, Paul and his companions, after having received direction from the Lord, hit the road to Philippi. Let's look at Acts 16, starting with verse 11, where it says, "Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis," verse 12, "and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days." We're going to examine three major incidents in Acts 16 recorded during those days in Philippi. Well, I think somebody glued my pages together. First of all, the encounter with the seller of purple, Lydia. Secondly, the encounter with the demonized slave girl. And thirdly, the encounter with the Philippian jailer. And what I want to do today is describe these three incidents and then conclude with one point for you to take home. Amen?
Yes.
The incident with the seller of purple, Lydia. From Acts 16, verse 11 through 15, we see Paul and his band entering the city of Philippi. It is the Sabbath day, and according to Acts 26, when God called Paul to preach the gospel, it was to the Jew first and then to the Greek. You will see this pattern throughout his ministry. To the Jew first, then to the Greek. To the Jew, and then to the unbeliever. Amen? It is the Sabbath, and usually Paul would be in the synagogue preaching, but instead we see him heading toward the river to pray. Why? Because the Jews in Philippi did not have a synagogue to worship in. It did not. In Psalm 137 in verse 2 it says, "We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it." The Jews, when they did not have a synagogue, they worshiped God on the Sabbath at the edge of the waters or rivers in their community. Why? Because an important part of their worship was to wash and become ceremonially clean. Interestingly, this was the ancient practice that led to our modern day baptism. So with no synagogue in Philippi, they went to the river. Now, according to rabbinical tradition, there needed to be at least 10 Jewish men in Philippi for there to be an established Jewish community, and apparently there was none. No Jews there, men Jews. In our text, the Bible says in Acts 16, verse 13, "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there." Amen. So at this place of prayer, there were a bunch of women. Hallelujah. Thank God for women.
Amen.
Amen. Now, these women were not washing their socks or underwear. I want you to know that. They were ceremonially washing away their sins and praying to Jehovah. Do you know what they were praying for? The Bible says, as was their custom. As was their custom. They were praying for Messiah to come. Hallelujah. Amen. They had no idea he had already arrived. Lived. And died and rose again from the dead. They had no idea of that. They were just praying that the Messiah would come. Amen. Acts 16, verse 14. "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God." There's your Jewish connection. She worshiped Jehovah. "The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul." Lydia was a seller of purple, which indicated that she was a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy woman. But most important, Lydia accepted Jesus as Savior and Messiah on that day. The scripture declares that the Lord opened her heart. Opened her heart. Lord, open our hearts this morning. Open our hearts. Now, the wording in that verse is similar to the incident found in Luke 24, verse 45. "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Paul prayed for that many times during the scripture for a lot of people. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints." It is a wondrous, glorious experience when God opens your eyes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Psalm 119 verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your law." When I was looking at that earlier this week, I started saying, "Open my eyes that I might see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Amen." Acts 16, verse 15 says this, "And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us." Here was Paul and his companions staying in an unfamiliar city. The disciples didn't know anyone, and there was no synagogue in which to stay. But God had provided. This new believer, this wealthy new believer, became their patron and took them in just as soon as she and her household were baptized. First things first, amen? Amen. Lydia was the matriarch of the house, and perhaps the other ladies that were with her by the river that day were her daughters, her servants, her friends, and her employees. As the matriarch, all of those under her leadership would automatically worship the God she worshiped. Automatically. It was a given. Now, Lydia was like a single mom of today. As such, she was the head of her household. And she led her household in matters of business and life. Most importantly, however, Lydia led her household in matters of faith. Amen? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. The Bible tells us in Genesis 18, 19, that it is the responsibility of the head of the household to direct that household in following the ways of the Lord. And in this case, there was no man to lead. We can find a woman stepping up to the plate, making converts, and finding a home base for the Jewish religion. Amen? Go ladies, go ladies. Thank you, Jesus. Second incident in this portion of Scripture involved the demonized slave girl. The Scripture says in Acts 16, 16, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The narrative indicates that this young woman started following the disciples, and this is what is recorded in chapter 16, verse 17. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Now, I want you to notice that even though the demons possessed her, they were unable to tell a lie. The truth had to come out. But why did a demon announce the truth about Paul? And why did this annoy Paul? The answer is simple, really. If Paul acknowledged the demon's words, he would appear to be linking the gospel with demon-related activities. He'd be connecting the two. This would pervert his message about Jesus Christ. Truth and evil do not mix. But evil will always strive to prevail over truth.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, according to verse 18, this is what it says. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Mm-hmm. And he came out that very hour.
Amen.
The owner of this girl, this slave, they were infuriated. Because once the girl was delivered from the devil, she was useless as a fortune teller and could no longer provide them with income. They were mad. So the owners of the slave girl brought false accusations against them, and Paul and Silas were arrested, beaten, and thrown into jail. All right, the third incident with the Philippian jailer. Verses 23 and 24. Give me one second. I'm all thumbs, folks. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Verse 24, having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. There they were, sitting in jail, about midnight, praising the Lord. You know the story, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 26 says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. What an event.
Yeah.
What an event. The jailer, who was placed in charge of keeping the prisoners in the prison, had been sleeping. If any prisoner had escaped, it would have meant his death. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awakened from sleep and seeing the prison doors open supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. When the jailer realized that the prison doors were open, he was surely terrified of the consequences he might face. I imagine that he thought suicide would solve the problem. However, Brother Paul, he shouted to the jailer, "Don't kill yourself. We're still here. We're still here." So in verse 29, it says, "Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas." Trembling. Now consider this. Use your imagination. Think beyond your logic. You and I have seen them old movies where the jailer in charge would just as soon torture you or kill you as look at you. Those guys weren't about to kill themselves simply because they had fallen asleep. Maybe the Philippian jail was like the jail in Mayberry. Perhaps the jailer was more of a Barney Fife, a reluctant jailer. Not on your life, folks. Not on your life. The experts tell us that this guy was a Roman, a tough guy, particularly hardened. He followed the rules. He was insolent and he despised the Jews. Now, what would prompt the jailer to ask, "What must I do to be saved?" Nothing has occurred to indicate he heard Paul even talk about salvation. The answer for us is rather clear if you're a Holy Ghost Christian. God showed up. The jailer experienced the living God. And from the book of Jerry, he wasn't sleeping. He was out in the spirit. I tell you, flesh and blood did not reveal to this man that he needed to be saved. But rather the same God that Paul and Silas were praising, and the same God that produced the earthquake that rocked the prison. It was the same God that revealed to the jailer that he was lost and he needed a Savior. In verse 31 it says, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household.'" Yes. In Acts 16, verse 32 and 33, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house." Verse 33, "And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized." What a beautiful picture, folks. Once again, we witness the head of the household leading his family in matters of faith.
Amen.
Amen. God the Father still desires this order.
Amen.
Still desires this order to cooperate with the flow of the Spirit within the family.
Yes.
Men, will you fulfill your God-given responsibility to lead your faith and family in matters of faith? Now, if that hasn't been the norm in your family, and you have the desire to change it, you need alignment. There are some steps that you will need to take to address family realigning. You and your family will need a cleansing and a deliverance. Now don't freak out. It's called an alignment and consists of two parts. Cleansing is to make you clean, to purify you, to make you complete break with the past. Then there's deliverance, which is defined as to be set free. To be set free. Now, I'm not saying that you may be possessed. Some of you are kind of... I'm referring to bondage, coming free from any bondage.
Right.
You may need cleansing because the world has had influence or control in your life. Bondage is simply being set free from something that has a stranglehold on you.
Yes, Jesus.
Remember the messages I gave you about bad habits? Not too long ago, pride, worry, idolatry, how they hang around, hang on you. Both cleansing and bondage take place in your soul. Remember, your soul is in the process of getting saved. It's in the process. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24 says this, "But you have not so learned Christ." Verse 21, "If indeed you have heard him and you have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus," 22, "that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." Verse 23, "and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Verse 24, "and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness."
Yes.
Since it's Father's Day, let me also use this as an example again. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God.
Yes.
Father God loves order. He loves order. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's not one thing. That's all things. All things. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. At this time, I'd like to show you some slides. We've got new tech in the back, and we're going to have old tech up here in front. And, I want to share about each one just a little bit. And please let me know if I'm not making myself clear with you. I want you to fully understand God's desire for alignment in your family. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Let's look up 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 17. Can you put that up, sister? Therefore, what's it there for? To teach us something. Have to let it down just a little bit.
Yeah, that's the phone.
All right, let's look at this scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you believe that scripture?
Yes.
How come we don't see that? How about Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10? Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man with it, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Okay, the new man who's renewed in the image of him. There's one more, I think, in there. Okay. We talked in the scripture a minute ago about thank you, Joe. About all things becoming new. All things becoming new. Well, I could have done it on the ceiling. Some of you could preach this message for me. We're made up of three parts. When you ask the Lord into your heart, your spirit is made new, is created in you, and it is saved. Hallelujah. It is saved. Your soul, and we'll get a definition of it a little better in just a minute, is your will, your mind, your thought processes. And according to the Word of God, we are to renew our minds. It also says in the Word of God that the old man is dead. And I want to respectfully tell you that the old man's dead if we let him be dead. Our body will be renewed and saved when we meet Jesus in the air. So our spirit is saved, our soul is getting saved, and our body will be saved. Amen? I'm sorry that it's not saved already. We'd be rid of a lot of sickness. So here's our soul. Mind, emotions, and will. Do we live according to our, let's see, to our mind? Do we live according to our emotions? Do we live according to our will? My brother-in-law once said to me, "Well, I'm a Johnson. I'll always be a Johnson, and I'll always act like a Johnson." That was his will. Yeah. And never bending. Folks, we're to be living according to our what?
Spirit.
Y'all following me? Don't you like this? Reminds you of school, don't you?
The whole world is second
grade. The whole world? All right. Spiritual growth. Each of these little wheels is spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Spiritual growth grows as these give their strength, their desire, their love to the Lord. If you want to grow, it's a communal effect. Here's the spirit growing right here compared to this one, and then down at the bottom, the spirit man is big. I think it was, I can't think of his name now. It says, "My spirit's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside." Who was that guy? He might come to me when I'm just about done with this. And if I call out a name, you know what I'm talking about. All right. This is what we want, brothers and sisters. This is what we want. This is life, and life more abundantly.
Yeah.
When the husband, when the wife, when the children all have a relationship with Jesus. The red bow at the top represents a covering. A covering over this family here. With everyone serving the Lord. You see this? Oh, yes. Everybody see it?
Yes.
All right. This is the same thing without the arrows. But you see how God blankets that? How it represents God blanketing his family.
Yeah.
And many times you'll hear the word anointing. This is the source of the anointing.
Yeah, amen.
Now, here's the problem. No, that's ain't the problem yet. Next week's problem. Okay. Here's this family, this loving family, this godly family that all serving Jesus, all love Jesus. These are the fiery darts of the enemy. Anybody ever had a fiery dart hit you? All right, here's Christ. The wife and the children are still under that umbrella and covering. But old hubby, he stepped out. When I saw this, it just... just flattened me. I don't know how else to say. What do you leave yourself open to when you leave the covering of Jesus Christ after you've been born again? And it's Father's Day. So here's the husband being godly. And the wife is getting all the power of the enemy thrown at her to break up this family. Husband and children are still under the umbrella of Jesus Christ. And then there's one that a lot of us experience more than I want you to, for sure. Here's a husband and wife doing their best to live a Christian life, and the children living their best to be out in the world. The destruction is fatal. This is all in a teaching called the Cleansing Stream. I found this when I went out to Jack Hickory School. Right, so God's voice is going to talk to your spirit, soul, and body of the people in this family covered by Him. The spiritual protection is covering over your spirit, soul, and body. Your spiritual growth takes place because the spirit, soul, and body are protected and God's speaking to it. And then, brothers and sisters, we've got an anointing.
Hallelujah.
That is desperately needed in our churches today.
Yeah.
One more slide. Say it with me. Men, will you fulfill your God-given responsibility to lead your family in matters of faith on this Father's Day and beyond?
Amen.
If the old man is dead, why is he always confronting us? If the old man's dead, why is he always taking us someplace that we don't need to be? The Bible says he's dead. I believe that. I believe we became a new creation. And that the old creation is gone. History.
Yes.
But our mind never forgets, does it?
No.
Not like God. God says he throws them things into the sea of forgetfulness behind him. He don't think about it. You say, Lord, forgive me for this. And then you come back and say, Lord, forgive me for this. What? I don't know what you're talking about. But all of us remember. And we remember pleasures as well as hard times. And we remember ways of handling emotion and pain. Things that cause us grief. What I used to do worked sometimes. I want us to stand there a minute. You know, we talk a lot about revival. Goodness. Sound like a pile of rocks getting hit over. We talk a lot about revival, but I don't know if we're ready as a people to really have the revival of God. I don't know that we take this Christian walk seriously enough. Now, I'm just being honest and open and talking to you like a daddy should. I just don't know. What we see is not the church growing. What we see is the church disintegrating. And the best life that we could ever have would be with the family in unity under Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why do we fight so hard to have something different than that? Why do we work so hard not to have peace? Not to have joy? And it ain't just the one. As those showed us, it can be different members of the family.
No.
But the head of the household, which is typically men, nowadays it may be women, have to be the leader. That's what God wants. Be the leader in your family. Bring your family under that covering of Jesus Christ. If you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a covenant with Him.
Yes.
And that covenant covers your kids, covers your wife, covers your kids. It's the same type of principle as shield over you. Same type of thing. When we pray at night behind me, a lot of times I say, my covenant covers that child. My covenant, my grandchildren, my great-grandchild that was just born is under covenant with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right now.
Yes.
Because I'm still living.
Amen.
And I got a covenant with God.
Amen.
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 Y'all, come on.
Amen.
Y'all understanding what I'm saying here?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's get serious.
Yes.
Let's get serious serving the Lord. It's not all about money, possessions, and I've got a ton of possessions. Some I should have never purchased. Money and everything. I told you that. I remember when a fish camp owned me. That's all they do, don't you? You gotta go there all the time. You don't have time for nothing else, you gotta go there all the time. Grass is growing up, stakes all over the property. Just being serious. Too bad I spent that money. Could've give it to some kid for trumpet lessons. He done back there. Anyway, I wanna pray for you, okay? Let everybody bow your heads, Mr. Nichols. Lord, this church has always been unique. We're here for a purpose, and that purpose is to fulfill your will. I ask, Lord God, that you would touch each one of us, and that our will would be joined to your will, Lord. Our desires, our wants, our pattern for living will all come from our spirit, which is connected to you, Lord Jesus, and not from ways and things that are in our mind. Things that lead us that should never lead us. Things that we agree to that we should never agree to. Lord, take your spirit and revitalize him. Renew him, Lord God, in our lives, so that we can walk in this godly fashion, leading our household, leading our friends, anyone we would consider to be under our roof, Lord God, let him be brought into your relationship. And Lord God, thank you for that. The joys will be innumerable. The happiness will be forever. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Give us that backbone that we can stand up and say no to temptation. And Lord God, I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. I thank you for this church that's a lighthouse in this community, Lord. Lord, we have sent out so many people with a touch of Turning Point Church on their lives, that this influence is all over the place. Lord, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we give you glory. Bless the men, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I love you all.
Love you. Wonderful message.
Hey there, Rosie.